5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Thursday morning, Northern Colorado. We're back at it. It's a weird week, Angel. I mean, time off is always a good thing, right? But in the middle of the week, it just, I don't know. It just feels really weird. We took yesterday off. We took Tuesday off. And now we're back at it to finish up the week strong. I obviously the perfect scenario is you get these holidays on a Friday. That's the way it should be. But nonetheless, had a good couple of days with the family and everything. Did you go witness the, you said you might go to the Stampede's 4th of July celebration and firework? Did they cancel it? Or I don't even know, man. Everybody was postponing. And
I think it got moved up a few hours.
Okay.
I did not see any fireworks on the 4th.
You didn't do any of that, huh?
No.
You didn't buy any snakes and sparklers just to give yourself a good time?
No, we did that on the 3rd.
Okay. Yep. You did do the snakes and sparklers.
Yes. I went down to my dad's house. My sister came back from their camping trip, so I was able to go down there for just the afternoon and see them a little bit. So we had a little barbecue there and some fireworks at night.
Yeah, it's good, man. I mean, it was crazy with us because the whole house has been battling this cold. My kid gets sick, and then it just kind of it just stays in the house for a while. So we get our kiddo to bed early because he woke up really early because he wasn't feeling good. And of course, as soon as he's going down to sleep, the neighborhood kids are in the street lighting stuff off. And I get it. My wife's like, "Can you tell him to be quiet?" I was like, "It's the 4th of July. You can't do that. You can't go out and tell families to keep it down on the 4th of July." However, Angel, we were bailed out. The rain kept coming down, forcing all the neighborhood children to go back indoors and not do the whole firecrackers thing. And I don't even know if they had the show. I mean, my brother and sister-in-law came over. They visited from Florida. And so we ended up just hanging out with them, talking. Didn't even go outside to see if we could see the fireworks from our vantage point, which would have been around the Timnath Reservoir. So they kept postponing it, moving things around. It was a weird day to do the fireworks thing. But nonetheless, we're back at it here. And Angel, I mean, it's July. We're going to be getting into football mode here very, very soon. We've got camps coming at the end of the month, so I'm excited about that. We'll start breaking into, I mean, dude, I'm telling you, if you're not a football fan in the state, all the teams that we talk about, Angel, Broncos, Rams, Buffs, Bears, even the Cowboys up in Wyoming, all extremely important seasons coming up. Obviously, with the Broncos, the storyline is, It is Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. Like, is this going to be it for Russ? Can he revive his career? Can Sean Payton be the guy to do that? So much hinges on whether or not Russell Wilson works out. That storyline, plus many others surrounding the Broncos, it's going to be must-see TV, must-talk radio. For CSU, it's absolutely huge. We're talking about conference realignment all the time. That was a weird thing with San Diego State. And Kevin Lytle will join us from the Colorado one later on in the show to talk about that. But, you know, this is such a huge season for CSU because you are in a position where is the Pac-12 a realistic possibility? Is a different Power 5 conference a realistic possibility? Does the Mountain West change and kind of merge? I don't know what's going to happen. I just know this. The bad teams that don't have a market will get forgotten. That's just the way it's, whatever this ends up doing, being a good team that can win some games and draw some fans in and make it look appealing on TV when you are on TV is if your games are nationally televised and you can fill that stadium up, it's going to be absolutely huge. For the Buffs, we've talked about Deion Sanders. We've talked about Coach Primetime a lot on this program. And obviously he's going through it right now with his health. But still, that aside, it's such a huge year for CU because they believe that the fix is here. They've got it now, and they can be competitive now. Like, there's no building and talk of building and all that. It was a mass exodus as far as that roster is concerned, and Primetime is setting that stage of this is the time. We're going to make it a quick turnaround, so we're going to find out a lot about them right off the bat. So, I mean, dude, it's... I'm telling you, Angel, this football season is going to be absolutely fire. It's going to be great to talk about. I'm looking forward to it because I don't know how many Rockies games I can watch, Angel. I watched a lot of Rockies lately. If you're a betting man, I'm going to say take the over almost every time. because the Rockies are giving up runs, and if they can add some runs to the mix, then yeah, you're going to be happy with that. But we've got the All-Star break coming up. Are you excited about the All-Star break? Nothing does nothing for you. Well, okay, let's do this. Let's get to my good, the bad, the ugly, because there's part of it in here that I want to get to. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFK. The good for me is we're officially in July, 6 days in, which means we will have football camp, real football camp. The closest thing we're getting to actual football before we get to the preseason. So we're no more OTAs and mini camps. We are on to training camp, and then you start your countdown. A couple weeks into that, and you're talking preseason. So that's my good. July isn't all bad, because now we've got football. It's right there. You said you could smell it the other day. You could smell it in the grass, Angel. It's almost here. We're getting close. The bad for me is, so I was watching the Angels-Padres game, and Ohtani goes out again with that weird finger. Now we're wondering, is he going to be in the All-Star game? Do you just shut him down? That's bad for baseball. Wouldn't you? I mean, Tanner's going to love this segment, because Shohei Ohtani is the biggest show in baseball. Wouldn't you agree? The must-see guy right now over anybody else in baseball, he's the one you want to see, and if he's not in the All-Star week, that might hurt. That might be rough. Because I'm telling you, he is something else, dude. He's something special. But it would be a bummer if he's out of the All-Star situation. The ugly. I mean, the Rockies are in it again. I mean, I didn't expect them to beat Houston, but it's still ugly. They've lost 10 consecutive road games now. They are well on their way to losing 100 games. That would be the first time ever. And maybe that's what it's going to take to truly set something on fire there for Dick Monfort and this Rockies organization, is if you just get to the absolute bottom of the barrel, this could be their worst season in franchise history. They're 33-55. They've got San Francisco, a three-game series against San Francisco starting up tomorrow, and then they take their break. But Angel, they could be, I mean, San Francisco's, what are they? They're almost at 50 wins. They're not a bad team at all. They could be flirting with 60 losses before we get to the All-Star break, man. Would not have guessed that. I feel bad for you, because you put in all this production work on the Rockies bus to really blow that up this year, and that thing is
blew it up.
Yeah, it's gone. Did you ever see I can't. It's based on a true story. A guy just decides to abandon life and goes out into the wilderness. Is it like Into the Wild or something like that? Good movie. It's based on a true story. He finds this old abandoned bus out in the middle of the forest, and he lives there. That is totally what comes to my mind when I think of the Rockies bus for you guys. It's just this abandoned bus that was forgotten about. You have no idea what it was used for, who was in it, because it's just been left out to wither away in the sun and the elements and the weather, and animals are living in it. That is your Rockies bus right now. That's a bummer. You ought to do a reverse bus where it's like the highway to hell. Because that's where the Rockies are going. I've asked this question. I am rooting for 100 losses now. Can I say that? I'm just saying it out loud. Because they're not going to the playoffs. This is not going to be a good team. Maybe the future is bright with some of these younger guys, with Tovar and Jones and such, Doyle. But I'm at the point where it's like scorched earth here. Go ahead, lose 100, and then maybe something changes to the Rockies to the point where it's like, all right, we're going to change everything that we do. And maybe they're doing that. They do have a lot of youth. But maybe they're on their way to doing it. So that's my ugly. The Rockies, again. Do they win? Do they? They'll lose the series to San Francisco. 10 in a row on the road. They've lost 10 in a row. Yes. All three of these are on the road. They're going to lose all three?
Yep.
Yeah. Are you rooting for 100?
I have no interest anymore.
If you could pick between them losing 100 and losing 95, what would you pick?
Probably 100.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's just,
yeah.
Until I see some change, I don't have hope that this is going to do anything.
Blow it up. You know, go lose 100. Make some history. Do it. Then wake them up. That's the only way you're going to do it. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Let's spend some time on this one. Are you a fan of the NBA's new in-season tournament? They are doing it. It's official. We are going to have an in-season tournament in the NBA. I don't know what it means. I saw this story this morning, Las Vegas to host the Final Four of NBA's new in-season tournament. according to sources. And we don't know all the details just yet of what it really means, but we know this. The tournament will take place on December 7th and 9th in Las Vegas. We know that. Stats will count for the league's regular season, so those games are basically just regular season games, except for the championship game of the event. That will not count. So, whatever. They're going to get, they're going to unveil the full details of what this means, of what you can win or don't win on Saturday night in Las Vegas. They're going to be doing it on ESPN's NBA Today, according to Adam Silver. He's going to have Wimby there. Wimby's going to be one of the players on the panel talking about this, along with Cade Cunningham, Anthony Edwards, and Trey Young. They're going to all be a part of this broadcast. Wimby's going to be there. It's like, what do you know about the NBA, the business of the NBA right now? He's trying to blow this guy up.
I'm already tired of Wimby.
Yeah,
I'm tired of it already.
I've never heard it where we have to hear, we get his opinion on everything now.
Do you want to know his rating in the new NBA 2K game
99,
as a rookie?
Is it a
99? It's 93.
As a rook, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's, I don't know. I saw that. He's going to be on the panel.
One, why does this need to be at a special broadcast TV event?
I don't know.
Why can't you just put it in a tweet? Because you're going to put it in a tweet anyway and just post it. Three, or two, why do we need Wemby there? Let the kid train. Let him work out. Let him learn his playbook. Let him meet his teammates.
And
let
what's
him learn
he gonna
English.
Say? What's he going to say? Like, oh, this is going to be good for the NBA. Dude, you don't even know. You're not a part of the business yet. You are, I mean, you are now. But
they're putting so much on this kid to be the face of the league already.
Why? I mean, I'm sorry, and I trust me, you're not going to hear me say I want to hear more from LeBron James. But wouldn't you rather a panel of players be LeBron James and Chris Paul and guys that have been doing it for, or maybe one of the NBA champions, and maybe you could get Gordon up there talking?
Sure.
I want to hear from those guys what they really think. Part of my brain's like, are these just like handpicked by Adam Silver because he knows that these players are all in on this kind of deal?
I guess, but we don't know what the deal is.
I have no interest in this. The play-in tournament, I kind of was like, eh, I don't know, it's gimmicky, but I can understand why they're going with it. I can go there with you. This, zero interest. I mean, unless they just blow me away with something, but what could they possibly do that's going to make this thing more entertaining? Because the idea, we know what the idea is. In December, early December, basketball is not really on the top of everybody's minds. You know, October and November, it's early, so you're just kind of getting back into it. You want to watch some games. December's like the dog days of the season, December and January. People aren't really into it. The playoff push hasn't really begun. They're trying to increase the ratings for a dead time in the NBA. And I get that, but What will this possibly do? There has to be real venom here. Like, you won the midseason tournament. Here's your trophy, and you each get $500,000. Why, as a fan, do I care about that? Because I can already hear it. As soon as the championship game happens and whoever wins it, you know what the broadcaster is going to say? That's great, but they know. The players will do an interview, and they'll go, yeah, but the real trophy we want is coming up in June.
Well, we're not going to be talking about it in March.
No.
It's not going to have any relevancy to any of the playoff teams, the players, anything in March in the last 3 weeks of the season. It doesn't make any sense.
It just is it's going to be a waste of time.
If it's just for the players, great. I already think players have too much power in the NBA, and we might go into that later.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
This is just a money grab, and the NBA doesn't really, you don't need it.
What could they say on Saturday that makes you go, huh, okay, I'm in. What could they say? Could they do anything?
No. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is who has the Larry O'Brien trophy.
That's all that matters, man. This isn't college football where everybody gets to go to bowl games and stuff. Like, there's little secondary awards
even
because
that,
you know you're not going to win.
For it. There's no trophy for this.
They'll probably make one.
I think they are going to make one.
Who's on a mid-season trophy? Like, because we got the Michael Jordan trophy now. Who gets the mid-season award that nobody cares about? Tony Kukoc or something like that? Steve Kerr on there?
Sure.
I mean,
maybe a beautiful gold and silver plated piece of metal.
Robert
that has
Horry.
Nothing to do with anything in the NBA.
I just, I've had a problem with this for a while. And it doesn't affect me in the grand scheme. Every game's going to be basically just a regular season game, except for the championship game.
It's going to have an
game.
Asterisk next to it that says it's a tournament game.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know. Where is this bracket, apparently. Who knows?
Well, so all the teams will participate in the group stage. It will consist of six groups total, three per conference, chosen by a random draw based on teams' winning percentage the previous season. Each team will play four games in its group, with six group winners making the knockout stage.
So it's not, you're not split up by your division.
Mm-mm.
You're split up just randomly?
Pretty much. Three per conference, chosen by a random draw, along with two wild cards who finished with the best winning percentage and not first in their groups. Knockout stage games will be single elimination through the finals. Through the final. Silver has pushed for the past several years for the in-season event to be added, and he has often compared the notion of an in-season tournament to what is commonly seen in European soccer. So help me out with that. Do you know anything about
it?
Does anybody out there know?
Guess
what they do with it?
This isn't Europe. We just spent a whole day celebrating this country as an independent place. Let us have our sports the way we want our sports. We want winners and losers.
Yeah, that's what people are saying. Oh, they're going to make it like a soccer-style thing. It's like, that doesn't work here. Soccer in America is 10th on the list, probably, right?
Maybe.
Where does it rank as far as games you want to watch? I would imagine... You take a poll, obviously it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC's above soccer, I would imagine.
Where do we get this idea that European sports leagues are the standard for how sports should operate? I get they do things differently and it's good to learn from it and experiment, but we pride ourselves on, as Americans, as with results.
We created
our
stuff.
We want winners and we want losers.
Yeah, no secondary trophies. I'm over that stuff. It's ridiculous.
And a trophy that means absolutely nothing after you've played 2 months of your games already?
Do you think
Nikola Jokic is going to want to play in these random tournament games?
Well, what's going to happen when a coach benches a guy because it's the championship?
For what?
But it doesn't matter. So what if you do a load management game there? I don't know. Flying Dutchman, oh my goodness, you sound like Get Off My Lawn Guy. Well, then give me a reason why
this
is
asking,
good.
We're just asking, why does this make sense? How is this going to help the NBA their champion?
It's a waste of time, and it's just confusing. Holyoke, in Summer League, I feel we expect Watson to shine, but does Gillespie get lapped by Pickett? Okay, we'll talk about that.
I'm excited for Summer League. And this Nuggets team.
I kind of am. And talk about meaningless basketball, but it's still
there's a trophy for Summer League, and we're going to get it.
It's evaluation basketball. See, this is bigger than the midseason tournament. We're going to evaluate who's potentially going to be a good player for the Nuggets, hopefully for a long time to come. Holyoke says, midseason tournament is suspect. I feel like for the average Joe, it would be like winning 25% off of a Culver's order. Who are you looking at making a move? Oh, as far as Nuggets making a move? I don't know, Holyoke. I don't know.
Like a player making a move?
I don't know. Who are you looking at making a move? Maybe move up? Who's going to take a big step, Summer League? Pickett's my guy right now.
He's getting a lot of talk right now.
I think your guy's Peyton Watson. You've been high on him for a while. It sounds like he's going to be good, dude. I'm excited to see what he can do. Why am I not excited about Strother necessarily? I'm not going crazy.
Yeah, see what he can do. He fits a role like I described him as, kind of a Michael Porter Jr., maybe a little KCP-ish with his game. Pickett, I think, fills a role that we need right now, which is the Bruce Brown absence.
But he'll be more of almost a mini Nikola Jokic out there, mm-hmm. too. So I really love that he's a point guard that will back down to the basket. I love that. He can back down and he'll be looking for passing lanes and all that. How will that affect Nikola Jokic? I don't know. We don't know if he'll even play next year. But Christian Brown did, based on recent history with Michael Malone and rookies. The guy who, for good reason, was touted as a guy that doesn't really play young guys. Well, he was forced to the last two or three years. And so I would imagine... there's a good chance that some of these young guys are going to get shots and opportunities. What they do with those opportunities will be kind of up to them. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's our poll question. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Are you a fan of the NBA's new in-season tournament? 57% of the hooligans are saying no. 42% are saying yes. So the 42% that are saying yes, I would like to know why. What are you seeing that we're not seeing? That's what I want to know. Flying Dutchman says, we sound like get off my lawn guy. Then why is this something that you are interested in? I want to know.
Something that's like changing the game of the NBA. We just want to know why they are doing this and what the purpose of it. Like, what are they looking to get out of this in-season tournament? If it's just ratings, then just say that. Because we all know that's what it is.
You want better ratings? Fix your rules inside the game.
You want better ratings? Focus on your non-American players, for one.
Oh, you want,
because you're putting this French kid as the number one superstar, the NBA face of the league, and the two-time MVP's over in Serbia racing horses.
Well, they won't be able to get him on for anything like this.
Sure, but when the season starts, I want Nikola Jokic to be one of the faces of the NBA.
Yeah, why can't we do like an 8-minute long commercial like we saw in Serbia? Did you, that ad, you and I watched that. Is that the longest commercial you've ever seen in your life? Do they do that in Serbia? Is that the thing? Like,
oh, yeah.
Are commercials just really freaking long there?
They're just really strange and obscure.
It was because it was a betting ad. Wasn't it a mm-hmm. betting commercial?
From my understanding, they were betting on sports, and they were trying to picture, what if Nikola and Boban played soccer? Or what if they did UFC fighting? How would we bet on it? And something like that. And then they kept getting confused because, oh, they're not playing the right sports or something.
They did like 14 different examples of them in different uniforms playing different sports. I'm like, okay, we get it. You don't need to do two or three is probably good. We get the concept.
Oh, Jokic in the UFC ring looks pretty scary.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Well, Boban looked, they both look kind of scary. Last text and we'll break. What if a super player has a season-ending injury during mid-season tournament? Well, that's the thing,
though. Then it'll be gone the next season.
Right. But it's still just the tournament is still the regular season. Except for the championship game. So the only way, like if somebody gets hurt in the championship, because that's going to be an extra game. Somebody's going to be playing two teams will be playing, to my knowledge, an 83rd game, correct? So that will be, but it won't count in stats or anything like that. 28 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. We'll take a quick break. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
I hope you guys had a wonderful 4th of July, got some time off, or, you know, whatever. Maybe you didn't get a lot of time off. Either way, we're glad to be with you here, back at it on a Thursday morning. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris says, I'm so confused, make it stop. It's confusing. I don't like, when you have to, like, I really have to stop and think about what it is we're doing here with the NBA's little in-season tournament. It's just so gimmicky, it's beyond words. And I'm not here for it. What is San Diego State going to be in the Mountain West next year? What do we know? Kevin Lytle's going to join us. That was the weirdest thing ever. Let's talk to Kevin with the Colorado one coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. I don't know if you guys have been following the Mountain West San Diego State stories, but that is really bizarre. Getting out of hand quickly. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Kevin, my man, what do we know about this? We know San Diego State wanted out, but then they came back and said, "Can we want out, but keep a space open for us just in case." And now they want back in. What's going on with San Diego State at this point?
Yeah, it is super fascinating. I mean, it goes back to, you know, even when San Diego State's men's basketball team was making their Final Four run, everyone kind of assumed it was a matter of when that school got a Pac-12 invite, not really if. But the Pac-12, of course, continues to drag its feet with its media rights deal. They're not going to extend any invites until that is done. So San Diego State was in a pickle because at the end of June was kind of a deadline, so to speak. If you withdraw from the conference by the end of June, you only, quote unquote, only have to pay about $17 million exit fee. But if you wait, you would have to pay $34 million or so in order to leave, you know, a year from now. So there was sort of that deadline. So San Diego State kind of tried to posture and play their cards a bit, but I think they overplayed. They sent a letter to the Mountain West that included, I believe is the phrase, intention to withdraw. And so there's kind of been a back and forth, but basically the Mountain West said, we took that as you're leaving the conference. San Diego State still didn't get an invite by the end of June because, of course, the Pac-12 hasn't got their media rights done. San Diego State sent another letter at the start of or end of June, start of July, said, hey, like, we're really excited to be part of the Mountain West, you know, can't wait to keep going. And the Mountain West responded and said, you have withdrawn from the conference. We're withholding your shares, you know, your money basically from the conference, and you will be leaving the conference in a year. So it's kind of a whole legal or impending legal battle, it looks like, as both sides are sort of claiming, you know, completely opposite outcomes.
It is so interesting, as you said, Kevin, because, you know, on one end, if you're the Mountain West, I mean, having San Diego State in your conference is a good thing. But, you know, if you're also maybe taking it personally because it's like we're out, but we might be back. Hold us a spot. Oh, the Pac-12 doesn't want us, or they can't figure out how to get us because of the TV deal. So we're excited to work with you guys. What do you do if you're the Mountain West Conference? I mean, when do you swallow your pride a little bit and just say, yeah, you're fine? Because, you know, having San Diego State is, I would say, better than not having them in your conference at this point, right?
Yeah. To me, the Mountain West holds almost all the cards right here, though, because right now San Diego State has nowhere to go. So, yeah, the Mountain West, obviously, ideally, long-term, like you say, would want to keep San Diego State. But I still think most likely is the Pac-12 is going to eventually offer San Diego State. And of course, they'll jump, as anyone would. So I think the Mountain West can, you know, try and use this as some leverage to either, you know, maybe try and get a longer term commitment from San Diego State, you know, as far as, you know, kind of contractual, you know, buyouts and things like that. Or yeah, if you still think this, you know, it's a program that's going to leave, withhold their money, the conference saves the money, and San Diego State will be gone. It'll be really fascinating to see how it all plays out, though, because like you say, you want to play nice, so to speak, because it is a program that's an asset for the conference. But if you're the Mountain West and you're pretty sure that, hey, you know, in 2 months the Pac-12 will finally secure a media deal, then they'll invite San Diego State, and, you know, in another year or two, San Diego State's going to be gone anyway. Well, then we might as well hold them to that contract and make them pay what they have to pay. So it's really, really fascinating right now.
I like your the first idea there. The Mountain West basically says, all right, you want in without having to pay whatever, what is it, $17 million or whatever, exit fee. Sign a five-year deal. You ain't going anywhere for 5 years. And that's the I like that if I'm the Mountain West Conference. Is that realistic, though?
Yeah, that's the big question. You know, obviously, I'm not a lawyer and don't know all the legalese involved here. But, you know, I do wonder if there's something like that or, you know, will, you know, let you back in the conference as far as you can, you know, start collecting the share money and whatever, but we're altering some of the exit fees, you know, so it was $17 million, now it's $25 million or whatever that may be, to build in a protection. So you kind of, you sort of get both. You kind of, you know, play nice with San Diego State, get them back in the league as far as, you know, getting the money from the TV deals and whatnot, but you also bump up that dollar amount to leave as well, and say, hey, like, we know you're going to get offers, but you're really going to have to pay if you go. I really wonder if that might be the path this goes.
Yeah, you're right, though. This is must read. Anything coming out on this is really interesting, because this is what we talk about in college sports now, is conference realignment. But this is kind of a botched situation here. How do you think Joe Parker would have handled it? Put CSU in the exact same situation as San Diego State. Because on one end, I'm going, yeah, you know, Joe Parker, not so bad. He's never had any major scripts quite like this. He's had hiring stuff and all that. But How do you? It's not that CSU has had that opportunity, though. San Diego State certainly is flirting with the Pac-12. That is a realistic possibility. How do you think Joe Parker would have handled this situation if this were CSU instead of San Diego State?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting and I think natural to think in that way. You know, the biggest thing is, you know, CSU hasn't even been close to that in a while, you know, mostly because they continue to botch football. You know, we think that's being fixed now with Jay Norvell, but they haven't won, so they haven't been in that position. And then the other thing is, you know, it's really out of Joe Parker and any athletic director's hands. You know, this is played at the president level. So in a lot of ways, Parker wouldn't have really been involved. Now, would he be the one communicating to the Mountain West, you know, because the ADs, you know, obviously spend a lot of time together? That's possible. But let's be real, you know, lawyers are writing these letters, not, you know, it's not an AD or whatever just sitting down at their computer at night being like, well, our intention is this. So, in a lot of ways, it's played above that level. Not saying Joe Parker isn't involved in these conversations, because of course he is. But it goes way up the food chain.
Oh, this will be interesting. So what's your prediction, Kevin? I mean, do you think this will get resolved and San Diego State stays put for the foreseeable future? Or do you think that the Mountain West stands its ground and says, no, pay us, no, you're out, we're done?
I think a bit of a middle ground is kind of my guess. Like I said, I think there will be some type of compromise, but I also still think San Diego State's going to get an offer from the Pac-12. I would guess, because of the timing, they probably won't be leaving, you know, after this next school year, which is what their hope was. So if I had to guess, I'd say San Diego State will probably be in the Mountain West two more years. They'll have to pay, you know, of course they'll have to pay about the Mountain West, but I also don't think the Mountain West is going to end up withholding, you know, all the money from them and kicking them out after the end of this school year. It's also possible they could, you know, maybe they'll again reach sort of a compromise, leave after the school year again at a renegotiated price that, you know, maybe isn't the full $34 million, but is more than the $17 million. So one way or another, I think San Diego State is Pac-12 bound within 2 years. But, you know, what that fee looks like and things like that, to me, is pretty hard to predict.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he's our CSU Rams insider, but also probably our Mountain West insider as well. When you look at CSU with all this stuff happening, we've talked about it before, but there's a lot of fans, a lot of Rams fans that are still holding out hope that someday CSU will be a Power 5 school. How attractive are the Rams right now to the Pac-12? Or, I mean, is that even, that's probably not even on their radar at this stage, because at the end of the day, they want to see wins and losses, or wins primarily, so you can drive up your fan base and all of that. So are the Rams on any kind of realistic radar watch as far as Pac-12 or Power 5?
They're on the radar. I don't think they're, you know, center, you know, of the bullseye or anything like that. Because, yeah, football hasn't won. And if you look at the conferences right now, CSU just doesn't make a ton of sense. I think if you're a CSU fan, you need to head down to Boulder, plant some bust to Big 12 flags, and hope CU heads back over to the Big 12. And then the Pac-12 is kind of scrambling to fill some holes once again. I think that's your best bet of CSU getting that Power 5 right now, because I don't think, you know, the Big 12, I think, has zero interest in CSU now. Pac-12 is kind of the only one that sort of makes any sense. And the way it makes most sense is probably if the Pac-12 gets further rated and you almost do a Pac-12 Mountain West merger. To me, that is the best bet for the Rams right now.
Kevin Lytle joining us. Pretty big story that came at the end of June that you put together about CSU landing maybe one of their highest ranked recruits in program history with this four-star receiver, Jordan Ross. Kevin, how did this thing turn? How did Jay Norvell do this? This is a big time get.
Yeah, the recruiting level of this staff is the best we've seen at CSU. Jordan Ross is a guy that, frankly, he made a visit because he, you know, felt a really good connection with Chad Savage, who is CSU's not only receiving coach, but maybe more importantly, kind of the recruiting guru. He's really done an amazing job. I think he is not long for Colorado State because he's doing such a good job. Came on visit, loved it, felt really connected with the coaches and whatnot, and committed. He's a guy, Michigan State was really hot on his tail. Several other Power Five schools were you know, pursuing him, and he committed. And yeah, if you look at the rankings, you know, arguably the best ever in sort of the recruiting ranking era, which is sort of like 2001 till now. So yeah, it's a really big time, caught a lot of attention. I've seen a lot of national talk about, you know, basically like, what? How'd this guy end up at Colorado State? So that's great news for CSU to get attention like that. You know, this 2024 class right now is shaping up to be really, really good.
No doubt about it. Just following your Twitter timeline and seeing all these names pop up, I mean, it definitely seems like Colorado State has something cooking over there, specifically on the football side of things. Kevin, what are you working on the next few days we can check out at the Colorado one? We're not that far away. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to fall camp and all that, so we're not that far.
No, we're getting close. You know, media days are in a couple weeks, which especially with the San Diego State thing could be kind of spicy. But yeah, right now I'm kind of jumping off that recruiting angle. I'm looking at the top ranked recruits in CSU, again, you know, kind of modern recruiting ranking history, and sort of, you know, what the rankings are and, you know, how those guys did at CSU. So it's kind of fun to look back through some of these names and, you know, see who lived up to hype and, you know, obviously some kind of big names that didn't either. So it's pretty interesting for me to look at that.
I'll be, I'll definitely check that out. Looking forward to it. Kevin, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and San Diego State, Mountain West. That is a mess. But it doesn't seem like CSU football is a mess. Angel asking, text me, just will the Pac-12 even be around in 2 years? I don't know. What's the TV do? That's the question. Is it Apple TV?
Well, if CU goes to the Big 12, why not go with them?
For CSU?
Yeah.
If they can.
If you can,
if they
not?
Want them. That's the thing. I just don't know. The Pac-12 is desirable if they have a legitimate TV contract. But, you know, Angel, I can't get you to watch Ted Lasso on Apple TV. Nobody wants to watch Apple TV. And if they, now, that's just one example, but we had heard the Pac-12 and that was really what they were looking at, was one of their options. If that's the case, then bye-bye Pac-12. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Almost done with hour number one. Lunch rush coming up. Some interesting stories. Damian Lillard, that situation is getting kind of bizarre. So we'll get into that. But do want to tell you about On the Rocks Liquor. They have a whiskey tasting this weekend with a variety from Five Trail and 477 in Greeley. The beer of the week is New Belgium's Voodoo Ranger. You guys have had that before. It's a juicy haze IPA. They're open to normal hours throughout the course of the week. Nothing wacky with them. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make sure you check out those tastings. I mean, you might find your new favorite there. They're located right off of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. The tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Are we a fan of the NBA's in-season tournament? I mean, are we liking that? We thinking that's going to be the game changer for the NBA? And, of course, Angel and I are both out on this idea. I can't really see any kind of scenario that makes this appealing to me. Even if they say, well, win the tournament, you're the champ, guaranteed playoff spot. Does that do anything? Because then if you have a guaranteed playoff spot, aren't you coasting the rest of the way through? Is it a lottery pick? Winner of this gets a guaranteed top five pick, top 10. What can you do? We're going to find out Saturday officially what they're planning on, the details of what this NBA in-season tournament really is all about. All right, stick around for the Lunch Rush. More on the Nuggets Summer League. Who's going to step up? Who's going to be that person that really jumps out at us where we have some confidence going into the regular season next year? We'll talk about all that and more. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.